All right, this is next episode of Comes Naturally podcast. We are
Joe,
Mike,
and I'm Cody. And a special guest today is
Taj.
All right, so today we're going to do what we like to call franchising. We're going to take properties from all over the vast media landscape, comic books, movies, TVs, books, everything, and we're going to dream up what we'd like to do with them outside their normal realm. So we will start with our special guest today. Taj, if you want to take it away there, buddy.
I am anxious. I know that it has been floated on numerous occasions and dropped out of the universe on just as many occasions, but Voltron needs to be a movie. It's important to any fanboy that Voltron become a live-action movie. I would pay my firstborn to see that movie if it was done well.
I get you.
I know that Alex Albrecht did a little short, and when I saw it, I fell in love, and it was all of 8-9 minutes long.
Like that, yeah.
Totally worth it.
It's awesome.
I'm head over heels. It needs to happen. It's important.
Okay, I have a question for you.
No.
Okay, fair enough. Go on.
Yep.
Well, I think the world would be ready for something like that because you've already had
I think the world has been ready for it ever since Transformers came out.
Yeah, but think about right now, though, if you look at it, in the world we have in post, like, Pacific Rim world,
exactly.
We're coming up on Godzilla, where they can do these convincing giant monsters with proper scale, proper destruction, and like just the special effects we have now definitely lend itself to a live-action Voltron movie, for sure. Now, my question to you is, though, would you pay homage to both Lion and Vehicle Voltron?
Honestly, no. Lion only, it's really, you know, the grassroots of Voltron, and Wild Vehicle was pretty cool.
You want pointy-headed Voltron?
I think pointy-headed Voltron. Dunce Cap. I'll
Cody
pass.
Cody wants that.
It's just bad idea.
Do you remember the old toys? They're like those like the super rubberized ones.
I do.
Like there were these sections were painted on, and like you put them together. If you use it too much, like one of the limbs would just fall off eventually. Because you always no doubt when you played. You shot the fists out like they're supposed to, like rockets.
Well, yeah.
But eventually, they wouldn't stick on anymore. So if you didn't have the arm upright, this would
just fall right out.
just slide out.
Yeah, and if that's in space, it just drifts. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, my hand rocket fell off.
You're
I can't.
Just looking back
I gotta
at
go
it.
Grab it real quick because any movement, it just would fall off. Like I'm gonna defer to our science major over here, our rocket scientist. That is, they moved all. You had this giant robot and it had a rocket fist, right? Thing that loose very on there very well. Moves, boom, just floats out in space.
Yeah,
right?
It just eventually float out.
And like, well,
debris,
fire. Yeah. I don't know what to do next.
For the longest time, I actually owned the metal Lion set, which would probably be worth somewhere in the neighborhood of thousands of dollars now, if it was in good shape.
Behind the scenes, look, Cody's slowly raising his hand and staring at Taj while he's talking.
It's a little creepy, but you have it now.
Yeah, I have the remake, the one they released at Comic-Con.
You took his?
I took his. Yeah. I was like, I'm taking it back.
Bitch, yeah.
No, when I was growing up, me and my brother, obviously huge nerds when we were growing up, and we had all those awesome toys. And I remember because we used to play with them, and they were bigger than most people remember them being.
Absolutely, so especially together, the Black Lion was gigantic.
Yeah, dude, because he was the body and head and stuff. But like when you put them together, it was a massive toy. Like I just remember, you had to get it just right because if you didn't get the legs pushed in and you got the heads flipped up on the legs, they would just stand all awkward.
That toy literally stood about a foot and a half, 2 feet tall.
The only thing I do not have for that set still is the shield.
Oh.
It's the only thing I don't have anymore. I have the sword. It's a little beat up because he used to fight with, all sorts of other stuff.
Wow.
And then, of course, I have all five lines. And it's fantastic.
Calling me jealous.
I have the re-release they did from Comic-Con a couple years ago. Where they sold it in the crest. They sold it. It was a box, and so the crest opened up, and it had the five lions with it. Oh, it was awesome with all the different attachments he used to have. Oh, so bad. But the only drawback to that one, smaller than the original. Never took it out of the box. Still have it. I'll find it sometime. I'll show it to you. But it's smaller than the original. It's drastically smaller than the original.
That's not okay.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the vehicles.
Yeah, the black
way
lion
smaller.
Is a little bit, I'd probably say, no, I'd say a little bit bigger than one of the other, like a yellow lion. It would be. It was smaller. But it's still pretty awesome because it's made of metal and stuff. But the legs are still plastic, just like the original one was.
Funny story about those metal toys. Had, obviously, the Voltron set and the Ninja Star, hard plastic that came with it.
Yeah.
One day when I was a young little boy, my brother and I were playing outside. My brother decided he was going to hurl that hard plastic ninja star.
Thrown well, flies really well. Thrown badly, does not fly very well at all.
Flew true.
Yep, because only one side was flat with a little handle thing on it, remember? And the other side was like the actual, like, you know, sharpened edges.
Needless to say, it ended poorly for me and the back of my head, which was covered in blood.
Oh.
It was, and this was a shot at no less than 20 feet.
Oh, he winged that thing at me.
Flew true.
Oh, my goodness. That's so fun.
Yeah. It didn't end well for him either, but...
I'm sure.
Because of you or because of your parents?
Because of my mom, because she's scary. Ask Cody.
Yep.
And I bled, he cried. Love that woman to death, but
holy moly.
Yeah.
Not a person on the bad side of.
Yeah, she is those that, not to be, I believe they say, fucked with.
Yep, that's the one.
Yeah, so it's,
By the way, this is going to be an explicit podcast if you haven't figured it out from this one or the other episode we've recorded so far. Bad words will be coming up, so prepare yourself.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
But we don't say certain things.
Yes, Mike, we don't.
About. Such as?
Yes.
Movie quotes. If they're the right movie quote.
Move along. So, you had another one you want to go talk about?
Also, you know, same genre, same era. Well, maybe not same genre, but Thundercats. Live action Thundercats. Definitely time.
Yeah. What did you guys think of the re-release of the cartoon?
Cartoon was good. It got a little bit weird.
Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the first, you know.
The first set of story arcs? Yeah.
You're right. It did get a little weird, and it ultimately lost me because of it.
I said this to a friend of mine. That was at the comic book store, and he said, have you watched the original in a long, long time?
No.
I hadn't, so I looked it up. Wow, they were weird.
Oh, yeah.
It was not as normal as you remember. Like, He-Man, for example, was a pretty strange cartoon, you know, with the weird characters. Thundercats was...
Wait. Was He-Man bizarre. Was a cartoon? They based a cartoon off the Dolph Lundgren movie?
No.
Is that...
No.
Yeesh.
Drago as He-Man.
Just like they based the comic book series after his other fantastic movie, The Punisher.
The Punisher.
Right? So go back and watch them and realize just how bizarre they really, really are. Not only do they like, it's, and I didn't believe, he made fun of it, and when he said it, I scoffed. It reminds you of a more serious Smurfs, and I'll explain why he says that. So if you remember Smurfs, they used the term Smurf for all different things.
Right.
I'm going to Smurf my way to the village, blah, blah, blah. Thundercats, they
smurf
did that.
Smurf so hard.
Oh. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm going to Smurf you in your Smurf hole. So that's what
don't
they
say hole.
That's what they called the
But you can't say hole, dude. Like, that makes it sound dirty.
I think that was the point.
Podcast is called comes naturally.
Spelled correctly.
Of course.
Yeah.
One of
which way is
Christian.
Correctly?
Oh, yeah. Get it?
Got it.
But no, so if you go back and listen, they would replace regular words and like in the vernacular with something that was cat related.
Yeah.
Snarf was obviously the worst because he said snarf all the time, but he didn't substitute snarf for something else.
That was like a, just a
it was
speech
just, impediment. Just a speech impediment. Yeah, right. You always have to have that snarf one in there. You know? But like if you go back, they did, it was really weird. But strange stuff.
I'm not going to lie. I'm going to probably go and watch at least an episode or two tonight.
Yeah.
Because...
You can watch almost full episodes on YouTube, if I'm not mistaken.
You can watch full episodes of anything on YouTube these days.
I'm positive. You can watch full movies. What movie did we find?
It was China with the...
Big Trouble in Little China.
Big Trouble
full
in China.
Full movie.
Oh, what a great movie.
No commercial breaks on YouTube.
Are you kidding?
We were... we searched for it. We were looking for something else.
WikiJ.
We were looking for WikiJ. And we... Oh, that's right. We were looking for WikiJ. And because we couldn't remember the name of the video... And I'll try to post this somewhere if you guys want to watch the video because they're fantastic.
David Lopan
style. But he does David Lopan style, which is a parody video of Gangnam Style, but all done with Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh. Fantastically done.
Fantastically done. With, by the way, the real David Lopan in it.
No way.
Yeah.
He guest stars in the video. It's fantastic.
That's awesome.
It is.
But we were searching for it, and sure enough, full on movie. It even said in the title, no, like, oh, don't tell anybody it's the full movie. Literally. Big Trouble Little China, full movie.
Yep.
Suck it.
Runtime?
Yep. Hour and like 32 minutes or what it was.
God, I love YouTube.
Oh my God, it's on there. Like, that's ridiculous. But.
Reeling it back in.
Go back, sorry.
I know it's tough. There is something about today's technology that we've obviously figured out, you know, or talked about covering Voltron, but there's something about CGI today and all the things that make up big Hollywood, you know, sci-fi type movies these days that would make a Thundercats movie.
Okay. Again, I have a question for you. This is not as bad as the Vehicle Voltron one. Would you? How much cat-like features would you like the actors to have?
Oh, it's got to be full on. I mean, it has to be true.
Because they had the humanoid faces. If you remember, they had that weird hair.
Humanoid though, like, which means they had
like they had the hairy faces and all. Yeah. So would you give them clothes, or would they be wearing the loincloths that the characters wore in there? Or would you give them
even actual, like Chitara had skin type? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm totally okay with that. I mean, hell, you've got. You've got body paint, you know, suits these days for, you know, X-Men and things of that nature.
I wouldn't.
But here's my question. Would you use something like Avatar? I know you're not making bigger people.
All CGI characters.
Yeah.
Just the facial rec.
Yeah, so it would be like a motion capture, but in that world where, like, because most of you remember Avatar, James Cameron's huge, wonderful movie. Soon to be a 2, 3, 4, and like 12. Mm. They're all going to film together. I don't know how that's going to work.
Slowly.
Yeah. But how would that, would you be okay with an all CG cast? Because if you think about it, in the Thundercats realm, there are no human people.
None. Because of Avatar, I can say yes to that. Had something like Avatar not been done and done well,
I would say not a chance. 10 years ago?
Yeah, not a chance. But because of Avatar, I can say yes to that. And I think it would work just fine.
But also to come up like with things like Avengers with an all CG Hulk, where it's just motion capture of Mark Ruffalo.
Right.
That was a pretty convincing job of an all CG character interacting with real humans on the same plane.
I wouldn't say it was pretty convincing. I was fully convinced.
Well, sometimes it's pretty convincing where you said you could look at it and go, is that a giant green dude?
Or
a CG character? Because he looked real, he reacted real, you saw him breathe, you saw dust flapping, you know, when they do that kind of thing, but you're in a world where all of them are CG, and obviously you're not going to film, like, Avatar didn't film crazy glowing plants, that was all fake too, so when you saw...
Pandora actually exists.
Beyond our VC, so he's going to blow up the tree, that was the guy with the... Yeah. One of the anyway, it doesn't matter.
Moving.
Save Avatar. Yeah.
My sister's keeper.
Yeah. Wow, really?
Ooh,
that's the one who works out?
Obscure.
Not even friends.
Not even friends.
So, my sister's keeper. Okay, no, I'll allow it. We're not editing that out. We're leaving it in.
Yep.
In that same vein, so it's a live action, but not a live action, if you think about it. Still, it's all CG. Because of CG. But you'd be okay with it, right?
I can allow that.
I think what's important, though,
the human element, right?
Yeah, with Avatar, all CG, obviously. But they did the
They facial, still look like them. Yeah, the benefit to Thundercats, though, they won't have the cat nose because they didn't have cat
noses. They didn't have cat noses.
Human features still. They just had cat-like features. You know, their legs didn't... Their knees went the proper way. They didn't have extra ankles or anything like that. Like a cat would. They had claws and...
And they were obviously, you know, pretty superhuman in the sense of their physiques.
Oh, of course, yeah.
You know, so that portion of it lends is also,
CG, yeah, because you can't get everyone to look like Dave Bautista to just paint their body.
I think he'd do it, though, and I'd probably be okay with that as well.
Come on.
Panthro?
Perfect. Yes. Exactly.
Absolutely perfect.
Problem is, though, he's kind of tied up right now.
A little bit.
Guardians.
Yeah. And that's the same thing I was going to say when Avatar, completely tangent about Avatar. Zoe Saldana is tied up doing the Marvel movies, too. How is that going to fit into James Cameron's whole little skill? I wonder how that's going to work.
Well, I guess it depends on when they film. Ultimately, you know, there are, you know, breaks and posts and all that.
I guess she doesn't show up again until Guardians 2, which I don't know if they have a release date yet for.
No.
But I know they're planning.
They might just go into filming Avatar.
So Avatar, whatever, and then boom, right
in. And
then
go right into filming.
Oh, that's so much work.
She's going to be Sam Jackson in the female realm. It's going to be ridiculous.
No, see, the benefit to that, though, is because there's so much CG, she just has to do the filming portion, the voiceover stuff, like the motion capture, and then a lot of the work and time between release and when it's done filming is all doing the special effects.
Right.
So she'd have time to do other stuff.
Right. She doesn't have to necessarily be around for that stuff.
The same year Avatar came out, she had like two or three other movies that same year because of the time difference between when she got done filming and when... You know, the film
Once post was done, all the special effects,
creating obviously her avatar or her character in it and things like that. Because again, all CG, It's not just a flip of the switch and like a couple presses the button and boom, you have CG characters. It's a lot of work that goes into it. So I mean, I'm sure that a lot of it was done ahead of time so the actors can imagine what they're acting like and things like that. But a lot of it would be like it all done post, so she would be done enough time. So I guess it would work out too with it, with her doing Guardians too also.
There's some, I mean, honestly, you, Dave Bautista.
Yeah, but see,
and those are two names that would actually fit
really well
into a Thundercat movie.
And you don't have to worry about size differences, because if you look at Guardians, the comic book characters are drastically different than their live-action counterparts, because Gamora is actually taller than most other characters, and Zoe Saldana is obviously not, and she looks like her regular height. And she's smaller than, well, obviously, everyone but Rocket Raccoon. So, obviously, they could do that where they would just be like, oh, she is bigger. Because, obviously, she wasn't as tall as Sam Worthington in real life, let alone, but she was the same height as him in Avatar. And so, like, the fully CG characters would definitely, you know, work a lot better.
Yeah, it lends itself to, but, you man, know,
dude, can you imagine what Mumra would look like?
Oh. Just let that sink in for a second. Let that sink in for a second.
A real CG. A real
Mumra.
Mumra.
You just made Thomas
feel from cup, old to
filled two cups. One to hold it, one to fill.
Smart water right there. Ain't gonna make it.
No. Oh, man. I was going to drink that.
Yeah. Gross. Feel free.
So we were talking earlier when we were discussing this off the recording, and I was warned. So many years ago, Robert Rodriguez was doing an interview with Latin Movie Review, if I'm mistaken, and he mentioned how he read a spec script for a live action Thundercats movie. Now hold on real tight. It's gonna get a little heated in here when I say this. He was not attached to it, so he had nothing to do with it. He's just talking about it. Then the guy who was doing the interview looked into it, and sure enough, someone had written a live action Lord of the Rings styled Thundercats script. With like full on battles with the vehicles and everything, like all this in the script, like fully detailed with all the different characters. It sounded amazing.
Can I just interject?
Yep.
I absolutely love Robert Rodriguez.
Yep.
I honestly believe Guillermo del Toro is much more dialed in for something
that.
I mean,
he had nothing to do with it. He was just, they were talking about different stuff. Like he's been reading and doing like that, like in the industry. And he talked about how like one of his favorite things when he was growing up was cartoons like Thundercats.
Right.
And the fact that he didn't realize what the Thundercats was actually about until later in life, because he had the Spanish dub version and they did a piss poor job of it.
Of translating.
So like he had no idea what the story actually was and things like that. So he had a really good time re-experiencing it over again. So he was just talking about how that was one of the things, and he had mentioned that he had read this script that was never picked up by a studio for it, which is a shame because it sounded, I mean, can you imagine like that, like huge battles with all these just soldiers and stuff? It'd be ridiculous. It'd be amazing. So I'd share that story with you.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Exciting.
Quick question though. TV or movie?
Ooh.
For Thundercats?
Yeah.
And remember, we're in an age right now where TV shows like Almost Human, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
Big budget TV. They're not held back by the, you know, the scale of it anymore.
And it doesn't have to hit like...
So like a few years ago, like even like 5 years ago, you would have said there's a Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show.
Yeah, in your mind.
No fucking way they can't afford it.
Because before, like when the probably the most expensive, elaborate TV show... was probably Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
And it was like $1 million something per episode they had spent on that.
I would probably think that Thundercats still lends itself more to the big screen, only because while there were plenty of episodes of it, the flow would probably be a little broken if you tried to put it into a TV show. And you don't want to lose the big... wow factor of it all.
You kind of want to streamline the whole
process. I mean, if you could just kind of, you know, make it a little bit linear and, you know, leave it at that, I think, you know, even if it did well, you know, just like any other franchise, you could make more of it. But I think it lends itself more to, you know, a movie screen than anything else.
You'd have that epic moment of like Terminator / Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles where like you think the bad guy's destroyed and the hand pops out of something. Exactly. Or rumble, I mean, you know, like a Mamba's coming back, or like you see like a something crawl into a dark cave
Super Shredder.
And all you see is like no, we don't talk about Super Shredder. No, I know your boy Nash was amazing.
Nash.
Yep. But like you can imagine like going like sinking into a dark cave is like the mummy ribbons off of him when he transforms back in, right, you know, like, yeah, you know, all crickety and stuff would be amazing.
Let's go ahead and budget this right now.
All right, so $325 million.
Yep,
done. Got to just we'll I'm go ahead and Kickstarter that. We don't own the property or
a quick little loan or
have the ability to write that or
anybody interested in putting
two people to it too. So
throw it out in the universe.
We have already attached two people to it, haven't we?
We have, and I will get in contact Dave Tiesa. We're friends on Twitter mainly because I follow him. He's never actually interacted with me, but I feel like we're friends.
He doesn't know your friends.
He didn't know yet. He'll learn eventually.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Right around the corner.
Yeah, it's fine. Cool guy. Michael, you want to go next?
Yeah, I have a couple. The obvious first one that I've always thought about for a long time is actually in the middle of happening right now. That's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, yeah.
So Michael Bay's already got that. So
shit's about.
I don't want to talk about that. Just want to really excited to see it and see how it looks and how it turns out. On a slight, like, way different from what I'm pretty sure anybody else.
Can we stay on the topic of turtles for a minute?
Yeah.
Okay, so we've all seen the pictures.
Rest of it on turtles.
We've seen the pictures of the character designs and the statuettes they had.
Amazeballs.
And the pictures of Shredder that we saw as concept art. Captain Knifey, as I like to call him, or Edge of Sanity, because that dude looked sharp.
Which is literally sketchy.
Like, because I remember someone posted somewhere that the description of Shredder was covered in knives. I thought, I thought automatically, like the cartoon, like he's got knives like taped on him everywhere. Like, I'm the Shredder. That's exactly what I got in my head. I'm like, well, that would just be dumb. Like, who's gonna be scared of a guy with kitchen utensils all over him? Then the picture showed up. That dude literally is covered in knives. He's got like 8-inch blades just hanging off his elbow. He's got 12-inch blades coming off his wrists.
Are we talking like Archangel type?
Like, boom, on the sides, like right off his forearm. And then there's this giant one hand.
He's not going to be able to put his arms down to his side.
Yeah, dude, he's going to be walking around. He looks, in the concept pictures, it's just all just character drawn, like drawn out by someone on computer or whatever. It's not like a real person wearing the suit. But the concept, he's swole, he's big.
Like
not super shredded.
Muscle
big,
bound, can't wipe my own ass.
No. Like, just big in general, like. The dude who's playing him, William, I can't remember his last name right now, but you can look it up. He is a pretty big guy, like tall, but he's not like slender. Muscular. Like, he's pretty slender. But seeing that, like what they had for a concept, I was like, dude, he's yoked. Like, it's a big dude. I'm talking like.
It makes me think if they're going to have like an origins of Shredder, and then once he becomes Shredder, it's somebody else in the suit kind of
maybe,
thing.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know. But dude, but then like. He's like so just literally covered in blades that if you were to fight him, him blocking a kick from you, gonna shred you. Literally will fuck you
up. Because
turtles have shells. So
not on their legs.
That's how they're gonna block
their feet.
But on that same note, though, before you say anything, Taj, the pictures of the turtles.
Amazing.
A lot of people were upset because they varied so much. But I thought it played better to each of them to have their own
individuality.
Look. Yeah, like Leo, you saw like the bamboo shoots for like armor on the front. Leo had like a sweatshirt tied around his belt.
Mikey.
Donnie had a bunch of like tech on him. Like he had night vision goggles in a way.
Fits the time. Man.
Yeah. And then Raph had like a bandana. People were losing their shit. Who's got a bandana on? It's covering his head. It's a fucking turtle.
I don't think he cares.
And a lot of people forget, and I didn't even know this because my introductory into Turtles were the cartoon show.
Of course.
But going back and looking at the origins, there's no like all same band or all same face mask.
Well, originally it was black and white.
Yeah, it was black and white.
But and the few times you saw color, they're all red.
All red. And there's no slight variations to the character themselves, so you could tell them apart while reading the books, but not a whole lot. And then the cartoon show, obviously, was all personality-driven and color-based. Yep. But you knew, by how they talked, by what they were talking about, and the colors that gave them. But I really like the idea of if they do end up looking, similar to what we've seen as concept, it's amazing because it fits their personality to a T. Like Raph being the big bruiser guy who just wants to go all out and fight. Mikey's kind of laid back, more the kind of stoner surfer kind of guy. You know, that's who you expect from him. So I think it looks good. It's gonna be fun.
Excited about that too. Yeah, for sure.
I think a movie like this actually kind of lends itself to having somebody and hold on to your asses for this. Old school Arnold Schwarzenegger type size, type of individual that doesn't really exist in Hollywood today.
In the suit, you mean? Or actually have playing the character?
In the suit.
Okay, in the suit. Of course, yeah.
Somebody of that size and stature. I mean, Conan the Barbarian sized guy. I mean, that, I believe, lends itself better to a Shredder. Course, and there's nobody out there that fits that bill, really.
Yeah,
and I like...
Not really.
Yeah, you can do Hemsworth, but see,
Hemsworth is a
character you want to be able to do like with the voice and do that, so it'd be great. But what he's talking about is kind of like a Darth Vader type scenario. You have a character, a voice you have in mind, like that deep voice, you know, we had the voice of Darth Vader.
Right.
Then you had a different character.
Then you take his mask off. Yep. Big white dude.
Exactly. Like, and that dude, like, if you go back on the, not the last set of Star Wars special features they did, but the ones before when they first released them on DVD, I think, before, like, and it was, I think it was the ones before, like, the edits with the added in footage. They had a special feature where they actually showed real, during filming, they didn't have the voice, so the actor inside the suit, I forget his name now. He spoke the lines for the other actors on set. Super weird, because the dude had like a weirdish...
Yeah, his voice was way off, but just not even close.
Almost, I think it was a speech impediment almost, like a kind of like that big like Mike Tyson, kind, not like as bad as Mike Tyson, but like that way where you heard, you're like, that's not imposing at all.
Yeah.
Like, that's why they had to go differently.
But also, I mean, even at the end of... Return of the Jedi, when he spoke those four lines. Pop the lid off. He speaks his four words or whatever.
Yep.
And you're like, what the hell has been going on?
And that's actually a third guy. That's not the same dude that played in the suit throughout the movies. That's a different guy who they used the face for. And then he's the same guy originally as the ghost came back, which was not
like somebody's cousin.
Worst change ever, by the way.
He was in the original one. You saw the ghost appear back on Endor. You saw him as a ghost. That's the actor they had at the end of the movie when they popped the lid off. So it was a different guy.
Yeah, them.
So like they literally had three people. Hayden
Christensen was a terrible idea, by the way. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It, you know, not the greatest casting in the world. What do you do now? He's no Jar Jar. That's what I'm saying.
Thank God for that.
Speaking of all CG characters, right?
Yeah.
Way to go, Lucas. I'm not hating on Lucas. I love it, but you know, whatever. Go ahead. You were saying you wanted a big guy.
Yeah, a guy that size. That just doesn't exist.
The good thing about that is though, you don't have to have a guy who has a face because it is fully masked. So all you have to have is the eyes.
Yeah.
So you could have a guy in movement. So he could be in the movement. He can fight like a Kevin Nash. He never actually spoke the words.
Yeah.
He never did anything but
this
motion.
This character you wanted to be able to interact with William more with the ninja.
I want to say Fleischer.
How about the guy Fletcher? That did Master Chief in Forward
Until
that Dawn.
Forward Until Dawn. Yeah. We can talk about that another time. Oof. Good Lord, yeah. I'm getting
that's
the papers.
That's
about
a
that.
Whole, the whole podcast
and,
by itself.
And the fact that they're doing a live-action Halo TV series for the internet with Spielberg in it. Oh, when you get more details about that, that's just going
to
be ridiculous.
What's his name from District 9 was attached to it again, wasn't it?
Neil Blomkamp?
Yeah.
Really? Because they told no to him in the movie when he said, I want $125 million for this or whatever to do the budget. And they're like, you're out of your fucking mind because it's a video game. And I was like, oh, that's funny because he used like a fraction of that and made District 9, which was tremendous.
By the way,
full CG almost everything.
What is $125 million these days?
To a studio.
For a movie budget? Come on.
This is back in the day, though. But you got to think, though, you're going from like Microsoft wasn't backing it. It was just Microsoft Studios, like just the game half of it.
All right.
And up until this point, your most successful video game franchise and movie world, we're looking at like Mario Brothers. Like, nothing's made it. There's that the stupid shitty alien movie with or monster movie with Christian Slater.
But Blood Rain didn't do very well either.
I don't think that was actually.
Wasn't that a Cinemax porn?
No, the best part about Blood Rain is they've done two sequels.
I was gonna say there's more than
one
of those.
Had Michelle Rodriguez for like four seconds, right? And that was she was on the movie poster. I remember. Like, it's like
you get all amped up to see her, and she's nowhere there.
I was working at the theater when that came out.
That's true. Yeah, so you got to screen that bad chicken. Not good at all. Yeah,
bad chicken. That's a good way to describe that fucking thing.
So back to what we're talking about before we got completely off the reservation there. So with the turtles, that is another example of all CG characters in a real world environment. Because yes, they're motion captures. You see the set pictures. They're wearing big hulking suits with like fake shells, and they have the little head rigs with the cameras and the dots and the mics and everything to pick up like their motion, their movements. Because they're gonna do the whole thing with they did with Mark Ruffalo and the and again back to Avatar where they match up the motions. And obviously the turtles, now that we've seen them because a lot of people did them, like they had noses and beaks, and we've seen what they actually are planning to look like from the toys and the posters and obviously those figurines you saw with Michael Bay trying to hide in the background and stuff like that. They look like the original, like the turtles we know and love, like from the cartoons, from the comics, things like that. And even from the live action ones we had before with the dudes in the suits, which obviously the mouths never made up. And they always had that disconnect between the lips and the teeth.
And they couldn't really move too.
When you fought, my favorite part was when they fought, you could tell because they were different suits. You'd see like the gaps in the armpits and stuff. Yeah. It was fantastic. But so on the set pics, you saw them, and they were like even the smallest guy, who I want to say is Michelangelo. Yeah. He even looked bigger because of the suit he was in. But when you looked at it, his head was smaller in the suit, so like the shell poked up. Where the other ones, their heads were above, because the guy who plays Donatello is like 6-something. So like we could see turtles that are bulking in size, and the guy who's playing Raphael, who's the biggest of all of them, was the guy who played Thad Castle in Blue Mountain State, if you've seen that, and also played Aquaman in Smallville. It's a pretty big dude in general, and they have him playing Raph, who's the biggest of all of them. So that's pretty promising.
Works out well.
The only problem I have with it is we haven't seen foot soldiers, and the things we people who suspect are foot soldiers are dudes in what look to be blackface.
I'm assuming and I'm not
even robots. I'm not even joking you. I'm not trying to be like messed up. They're literally dudes painted black faces with like circles for their eyes and around their mouths.
Hopefully that won't come to fruition. Yeah. We won't have to worry about it.
But they look like a special utilities army.
We've just seen so little though from like set pics and stuff.
And exciting news that just came up about that. It looks like the trailer for that is going to be attached to, or at least in the same theaters as Captain America when it comes out next month.
Winter Soldier. I'm so excited.
Yep, Winter Soldier. Yep. It's going to be, it's not, they said, the first one I read is said it was attached to the movie, but there are two different studios, but it doesn't mean they couldn't be. God. But it's going to be in theaters the same weekend, which most likely means if they're smart and they're going after the fans of that genre type of thing.
Even if they ran a teaser.
Yeah. Well, it's a teaser trailer, so it's not like, we're not talking like big game spot, like, you know, we're talking like a minute, 32 minutes, you know? Like a full on, like I'm guessing we're gonna get like a full on length trailer, but it's gonna be a teaser trailer. It's like, boom, boom, not gonna see him, see a glimpse of him, then boom, you see him, and you're like, oh dang, turtles, and like you're gonna hear like a quip, real quick lines. Obviously, you're gonna see April O'Neil.
Someone says cowabunga.
It better be, because and then you're gonna see a little.
That's probably another thing. Like that's the one thing that could spoil me on this movie is the
catchphrases.
It'll be in there. I'm pretty sure it's gonna be in there. But I can just like in my head, I'm just picturing all the things in the teaser trailer, and at the end, you just see boom, quick glance of Shredder, and boom, you're done.
That's really all you need.
The title comes up, and it's like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I was like,
and then I just start throwing money at the screen.
See Nerd Wallet.
My wife
is tackling me, trying to stop wasting all of our money.
Yeah, you just see Nerd Wallet flying at the screen. You like Velcro Batman wallets and shit. Like, you know, some nerd has a chain on there, whips back and hits him in the face and breaks his glasses. That just flying at the screen. It's and well that and a handful of other DNA type stuff. So that's pretty awesome. So that's your turtles. Not to interrupt, we wanted to go on that for you. Had one more that you want to talk about?
Yeah, the turtles was a big one, but like I said, it's
on its way.
On its way.
We'll see it this year.
The one that's gonna be really unlike, I'm guessing, anybody else. Well, maybe a little bit, kind of like yours, a little bit. Is I love westerns, and this day and age where we don't
all of them.
All of them. I do love westerns. It's ridiculous.
How old are you? 40,
94.
50? Yeah. Okay. Makes sense.
You look amazing for 94.
Don't work out. That's the secret.
Is not my opinion to say.
For 94?
It would look.
94? You find me a 94-year-old that girthy.
Girthy. That's the first time Girthy's
way to sell it. Way to sell it. Yeah.
Think about that. 94-year-olds, you always like Ricky. Sorry, we're going away. Sorry. All right, sorry. Okay, all right. But Westerns.
So the actual thing that I would like to see, which has been made a movie and a TV show before multiple times, but
and a miniseries,
but nothing that I thought really grasped what it could have been.
Except the original movie was pretty BA.
Yeah, was amazing.
Pretty BA.
But well, I would love it was, back in the it was day, right BA. Now for them to do a Magnificent Seven.
Yes.
You have it's an ensemble cast. You get the right cast, the right writers together. It's not because today and age, even though everything we're talking about is big CGI and it's great mm-hmm. because you can finally convey what people have imagined for years.
You don't need it for that.
You don't need it for that one. You also need to have a good balance in what you're watching. You can't just watch all CGI stuff and get burnt out on it. So a good, well written, well performed, and you know, I don't even really have casting in mind, just good actors, they don't have to be great. Good scenery, good stories. I think a Magnificent Seven, whether it be a movie that could spawn into a franchise of movies, because it really lends itself for that, or if it could come back as a TV show on a network that you would really, really trust to do something like that, like an AMC. Holy
about
shit,
the only dude. Network that you could trust to do it.
Yeah, and AMC. I know there's Western shows right now.
Hell on Wheels is
one. Hell on Wheels. Fantastic. All good, but I just think like Magnificent Seven, that's where it's at. Like, that's really what's going to, if it's done right, can really bring, because it's never going to come back fully, the genre. But I think that could lead its way into seeing more of it Westerns. Done. So that's something that I would look forward to.
Plus, definitely, speaking of like putting like an AMC where you have that, they find a way to make things that don't seem like they should be viable in this, like in the landscape that is the world we live in for television. But like a Breaking Bad, very easy show to make. It's, you know, just normal people in everyday settings. When you go to like a Hell on Wheels, you're talking barren wastelands of plains in the middle of nowhere, mountain ranges, you know, no big buildings except for the few things they did in New York. And I think there was Boston was the other place they were in that show too. But like they have a really good way of finding a way to do that out in the middle. So it looks like that old Western style one, you know, like without having to do a movie. Because with a movie, you could do it. Obviously, it was done in a movie. Yeah. It was done really well as a movie. But nowadays, I think it would be really good to do a good 5-6 season show.
Yeah, and because one of the things that makes it appeal to me as a TV show is there's so much great TV out right now, but it's really like all the best TV shows are really fucking sad and depressing and like dark, and it's almost becomes like you love watching them because they're done well, but it's almost like work trying to get through it. Like you really want to watch a comedy or something.
It's
like
a roller
that,
coaster. It really is.
Yeah, and it's like shit.
We're coming out of more on that now, because for a while there we had that anti-hero bad guy, like true bad guy as the good guy of the show. Again, Breaking Bad, one of them. Dexter
things really like that stands out there.
He's like they're straight up criminals. You know, yeah. I mean they're not good people at all. They're not good people, but we root for them in a strange way because we like them as people, but like we know they're bad. But with the Magnificent Seven, they're not technically bad guys.
Yeah.
They're in a way kind of like outlaws, but they're not like, they're not murdering people for the sake of, they're not like doing it to help them.
And
be
you
normal,
can do it
you know?
Different ways, but like going back to the point, like, everything's so kind of sad and depressing. Yeah. Like even like Boardwalk Empire, you watch that, that's
fucking yeah, that's heavy.
Really good, but it's super heavy. And I would love it to be a show that's really good, has its heavy moments to be a legit, you know, good TV show. But
or it be a lends good itself, Western in general.
Yeah, it lends itself to a little bit more levity. It lends itself to some more action, some fun stuff too. So it's not so doom and gloom all the time.
The way you describe it, all I can think of is like the Tony Stark
like
character where yeah. Well, ultimately, you know how it was always said that Tony Stark was supposed to be the guy that you weren't supposed to, you know, an asshole in a sense, but you love him. You want to, you want to be in, you know, he's the playboy that's full of himself and nobody likes, but everybody loves.
Yeah, he's... Mm-hmm. He's, you know, it's nice about that. That's a good way to put it too. Like he's a jerk. Like he's the guy like you want to like because he's rich and he's famous. But then when you get to know him, like he's flawed in his own ways. But then you look at it, it's like he's a straight up hero. Like, he sacrifices his own life for saving other people. Or like, yeah, dude, like, he is a good guy, but like, man,
there's so much bad around. Yeah,
so much, you know, like, that bounces. But like, character Mike flaws. Was saying, is like, the show itself would almost be a different feel to it, where it wouldn't be like, I mean, Magnus, I don't know how you'd stretch it out 5 seasons, but you could do shorter seasons and stuff, like a British show would be, you know, 6 or 8 episodes a season, you know. I'm sure if with the writing team, you could definitely get
6.
More
you could do 6 and give it good story arc, bring it back the next year for another 6.
Yeah, you know, so, you know, because like, you could just stretch it out. But like, the cool thing about that is it's not, and it, yeah, like, unlike Hell on Wheels, it would be more of a livelier show. So yeah, you'd, like, you'd be rooting for these guys because they're good, not because they're the best of what you have on there. You know what I mean? They're not, like, not everyone on the show is a scumbag, but the one that's less of a scumbag that is trying to do something that would be deemed good is what you're going to root for.
Yeah, they're not the best of men, but there's great intentions there. And
pale in comparison to what other people are worse at, you know?
Especially in that
time. Yep, Western.
Yep, yep.
I like it.
That's mine.
I like it.
Joseph?
Joe.
First and foremost, I would like to see Mass Effect made into a TV series. It'd be amazing because you could go into so much more, I think, if you stretch out just the individual,
because games. There are so many characters. I would say you're probably right about that.
You'd have the background stories for each of the main characters of the five or six that rotate through the main group,
because each game you are collecting your team. So I mean, right, you could have whole, you know, like 3 or 4 episodes on just surrounding collect one
of them. Yep. And building his squad.
Yeah, the backstory on that one individual.
Like, a whole overarching thing would be, like, spotted throughout the first season would be leading up to a big battle with I forget their name.
Saren or the Geth.
The Geth. So you could, like, sprinkle that in, have it. So, like, yeah, they fight him here and now. Like, they fight him on this planet or, you know, it's that sort of thing. You could get to it. And at the very end of the season, you have, like, a huge battle. But not like an ending battle where, like, you know, like the first game had an ending that, if they didn't make enough money or wasn't good enough, they didn't have to make a sequel to, like, let people down that did like it, you know? They left it where it's like, we finished it, but it could come back, you know, that sort of thing. You could same do with the first season and easily do that.
What's that TV show with Noah Wiley, that alien TV show?
Falling Skies. I love that show.
I think those characters, those aliens actually kind of lead you into a Geth-type character that is extremely convincing.
Season 2, spoilers here. I think it's season 2, you find out that the crawly guys are always fighting are mutated versions of other aliens.
They're not mutated versions, I don't believe. They're another race that was enslaved by...
Oh, yes, because they had the thing on them, like the kids. That's what
you find out, the harnesses
and
before.
The harnesses, right. And they make them do what they want. So eventually, if they were to conquer Earth or leave with the captured young people or people who had the harnesses on, they would use them as an infiltrating force on the next planet.
But ultimately, those characters, if you want to call them that, I think lend to a convincing Geth overall, because even though they're, you know, quite different, but the Geth are alien ultimately, and even though they're maybe you could call it a hive mind or a consensus.
They were,
you know, they're, you know, kind of like a Borg, but way more detailed.
Yeah.
You know, and I, you know, as much of a Star Trek fan as I am, Borg were a little flimsy.
They were flawed by the design because they were flimsy. They were humanoid or alien, the alien versions of them, and all they did is give them mechanics, you know.
Yeah,
and
just like throw a robot arm here.
Yeah, perfect, so, you know, yeah. So, but they were pretty much flawed. But like with the Geth, for example, or like the aliens from Falling Skies, they built this army out of like other races they've conquered,
right,
and they basically maneuvered them to be the best chess pieces they possibly can for further attacks on their planets and further, you know, and engagements they would have, you know. And they had the giant robot ones that there was nothing in those, right? Like, they were just like robots.
No, they're just robots. They're just,
no, they were built by the I can't remember, the nomadic race of people.
Yeah,
but they didn't have anything in them.
But they're just all AIs. So, and backstory in and of itself is huge. It's a long-running backstory that could span an entire season, honestly, by itself.
The one, and I caught it, I'd lost it in the third season, but I know, like, they did the thing where, like, one of them was the one of the sons got like had was like knew what was going on, but then they had like the freed version, like one of those the little crawler guys freed and was on their side. Yeah. And yeah. That's when they start to find out. Yeah, exactly. So I thought it was kind of cool. But like speaking of back to Mass Effect, that one would be cool as a TV show, and the fact that like nothing's ever the same environment.
Mm-hmm.
Be it like you know, like your first few episodes at a time, you would be on the same planet, interacting with the same characters, but then you'd have like, oh, we're gonna go here because I heard that this place is overrun by the Geth or whatever. And then so you're going to go save them and things like that. So
there's
that
would be pretty, a lot of cool, interplanetary travel going on there. Granted, the Citadel is the central spot, but there's so much travel.
The Citadel would be more of like those far and few between ones you would go to. Because the Citadel, like in the game, it's your thing to go through and like
your kind hub.
Of, yeah, your hub to stop and rest and get supplies. In the show, you would have to use that less often, I think.
Well, you would because it would really only be there to have to like push along the main overarching story.
And then you could pull a Star Trek and do a Citadel show like they did Deep Space Nine.
Oh, God. No. I watched that, but yeah.
Of course you did. Yeah. Because it was such a great idea to do a Deep Space Nine show.
No,
where all the characters... Oh, okay.
No.
We're always in the same spot.
Hey, remember those other guys? Those other characters from Star Trek? And then
they'll
the
show up every now and then. Remember that guy that was in one episode of the first season of The Next Generation? He showed up. Remember him?
Well, they had O'Brien.
5 minutes.
They had O'Brien in, like, eventually later on in the series.
Of course, yeah. And then you saw Worf a lot more, if I'm mistaken.
Worf a lot more, and...
Yeah,
that Mike's was pretty like, much
yeah, Worf.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just
Mass
a bad idea.
Yeah, Mass Effect would be pretty cool to see.
I do like realm, the thought of that. And the more we talk about it, I was initially sold more on a movie, but the more we talk about it, it does lend itself better to a TV show.
British style, where like Sherlock does, where it's like hour and a half long episodes.
Awesome. Yeah.
So they're like mini movies.
Right.
You just do a bunch, like do five or six.
Give me more than three.
Oh yeah, of course. Five or six in a season. But because they're an hour and a half long, like if you haven't watched Sherlock, first off, it's a terrific show. But they're an hour and a half long, they're 90 something minutes each, and they feel like a long episode. The crazy part is the reason they feel and run better, no commercials in the middle of the show.
Yep.
So it's straight 90 something minutes.
It's a good idea.
And it feels like momentum. Momentum. You don't lose that. You're not writing for a commercial break.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of shows, I can imagine being in a writing room and just be like, all right, that's a great idea. Come back to so-and-so doing this, you know?
It's
like,
miserable.
That's the greatest thing about British television programs. They don't have commercial breaks in them. So you don't lose that momentum going through. And it's like, because you watch those TV shows, and they lend really well to like Netflix, where there are no commercial breaks. It's like scene, next, over. But then you watch stuff like shows that have long-running scenes or stories in the middle of the episode. Supernatural comes to mind, for example. They're always cutting in the middle of something, and you're like,
it loses you.
I would say that shows like that would have a really good success rate here in the States, because so many people DVR shit nowadays. A show like that has a better chance of catching a live audience.
Well, that's why Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, that's why they're going to start taking over and killing these. And that's why I think we're not too far away from seeing subscription-based, like, a la carte TV, HBO Go, for example. Everyone's big gripe is you have to have HBO to get it. So you can watch all the shows, but you have to have HBO. The problem, if you have HBO, you've most likely seen all those shows.
Yeah, what's the point of having?
But if you could get a subscription for 10, 15 bucks a month to have access to
totally
all of
that.
Totally worth it. Dude, you'd be making money.
And over
because you'd be getting the people who don't want
but that's the
to
thing,
subscribe
is like,
to TV.
British television is essentially publicly paid. In a way, it's government-based, so... Their commercials, if you ever watch it, like on BBC, like BBC America is different because they actually do commercial
breaks.
Right,
they put the commercials in.
Unless they're doing marathon, sometimes they don't do commercials until the end. So you have like 15 minutes of commercials straight, which is awful, like in between.
But you can get up and walk away.
Make a sandwich.
Yeah, exactly. You can get up and walk away from
that. But the thing about...
Do what you got to do.
What's going to kill...
In that order,
yeah, it's going to kill broadcast television and cable networks is the fact that you could do that and Netflix and Hulu Plus. Like Hulu Plus... still kind of angers me because there are commercials even though you pay for it. Like, I could get a commercial at the beginning, at the end, but you throw them in the middle of a show.
Yeah, what's the point of having
it? Dude, it's fucking...
It's TV.
Yeah, it's like, that's TV. I'm paying for that anyways. Why I watch it, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, the cool thing about Netflix and Amazon, I haven't watched any of the shows on Amazon. I heard they're not that great. For the couple that just came out, I know they did a pilot one that just came out not too much. But you get all the content at once. So you could binge watch an entire season. Like, I destroyed season four of Arrested Development, you know? My father destroyed House of Cards. Like, he watched season one, literally all 13 episodes, back-to-back one day. Mm. And it's not until I taught him that his Apple TV had a pause button that he realized he could take smoke breaks. So he'd literally be...
Or not pee on, or not pee on the couch.
Smoking, yeah. He would literally... Yeah. He would literally watch, and I was surprised if anyone out there ever met my father, that he could go longer than 50-something minutes without looking at his phone or smoking a cigarette, and that dude was enthralled. He asked me questions, and I was like, you paid attention to his TV show. He's like, it's so good. I was like, that's nuts. So that kind of thing would lend itself well. The problem is your mass market isn't there yet. And there's a lot of people who watch Netflix, and there's a lot of people who have Hulu Plus, but it's not as many people who are subscribed to things like DirecTV and Cox Cable and True. All those different ones. But we're not far off.
But even if you if you put something like that on regular TV, cable TV, and just left out the bullshit commercials, it's a winning formula.
Yeah, the problem really with that, though, is that's where they make their money.
Yeah.
So they have to do
product placement. I understand that, you know.
No, product placement. No, it's funny.
Truman Show.
There's product placement in a lot of TV shows. If you watch like one of the shows I like,
Big Bang Theory does it all the time.
Well, yeah, but like one of the TV shows,
can't exactly have here's Coke inside of
Walking Dead or something, right? But what they did do is in Walking Dead they had Hondas and they would have Hondas in there. Yeah. They would beat them up, but if you pay attention, the Hyundai logo and the names
is everywhere,
sparkling, dirt, no debris, no hanging limbs, none of that. Hanging dong. I almost said hanging dong.
I almost did it. Don't say hanging dong on the podcast.
Too late.
I won't say it. Edit. Just get him editing that out. But you have that product placement. But the problem with that is you'd have to have so much more of it. Like, oh, good thing we found this box of Tide to clean our clothes, you know?
Oh, that'd
like,
be horrible.
It'd be awful, right? So you don't want to do
it
that.
It really would be Truman Show.
So like, when you do like for example, we'll go back to Sherlock because of how they do it. Hour and a half long episodes. Unfortunately, they do three a season, which drives some people crazy, Joe. Because then Benedict Cumberbatch will go off and do like 17 movies and went back for like 3 years, even though I think it was only 2 years between season two and three. But
that's too long. Way too long.
Which is way too long in America because we would forget. Like, you forget about
You'll lose it.
If it's not back that same time every year, like, you'd forget about it. But if you had other programming to reignite it, you know, tangent again. You'd have that capability, but see, if you watch Sherlock, there is no product placement in it, mainly because it's government owned, like the stations. But like, even like, they have like straight up iPhones, they have iPhones as their phones in the show. The Apple logo is plain as fucking day.
Yeah,
when you first watch the first season, the Apple logo on his computer, because he has a MacBook, covered up, and it would cover up so much you couldn't see it. And then season two, I think it was, or maybe later in season one, the sticker they had on it was see-through enough when the light, the apple on the back lit up, you could see, right? Oh, it was hilarious. But then season two and season three, no stickers on shit. Plain as day, phones, like, boom, out, and you could see them. And it wasn't because they're getting sponsors, it's because they realized they just don't have to worry about it. You know what I mean? It's like,
and ultimately, that would pay for itself. You know, that kind of stuff would pay into the, you know.
And you're talking about Big Bang Theory with advertisement stuff, you know, they do all those things. You see a lot of memorabilia and stuff, and they do that things, and you'll like see stuff.
It's so easy for
but
that,
it's funny,
though.
Like, it really is. With their computers, you'll see, I think it's Wolowitz has a MacBook, but on the back of it is a Windows logo, like a Windows sticker, right over the Apple.
They had like a big Alienware somewhere.
Alienware was on Sheldon's computer. But if you watch earlier seasons, that same computer, Windows logo. It was a generic Windows, the Windows roughly flag thing. It was hilarious. Back to you. Because we got off a horrible tangent.
Yes, we did.
So, Mass Effect, we love it. It's a great idea.
I think it's great as a series.
Lend itself to a terrific one. They would have to do some modifications, like we were talking about. Not they have to listen to us, but you know, I think it would do. Really
no, they
well.
Do.
They probably should.
We are the pulse of America, motherfucker. We know
we're
everything.
In fucking trouble.
America's in fucking trouble. Not us.
Oh no, we're perfect.
We're good.
You had one more
shit we're about to watch.
My second one has already been put into a movie, but it was originally planned for I believe three movies before they turned it into a TV show, and that would be Stargate.
Yay.
I love the original movie. The whole concept of it was something so different than anything that you had seen before, or at least I could think of that you'd seen before that movie.
It was very, very different from around its time. Obviously, now we've seen tons of stuff like it.
But Stargate, the TV show.
So. Yeah, and then three of them, right? Stargate shows?
Because they had Stargate, then they had Atlantis, and then they had Destiny, or Universe, which I love. The show I really enjoyed. I just think it really got to...
Atlantis is the one where... Never mind, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I still loved the TV show, but I would really have loved to have seen what the original plan was for the sequels.
Those were based on a book series, though, right? The Stargate one? Like, loosely based on somebody's book or something?
Trying to remember, I believe Chariots of the Gods.
Yes, I think is what it's called.
Yeah,
right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So
me and Taj are like,
the blank stare that you're getting from this side of the table. Own
conversation.
Yeah, we'll be back later.
Again, behind the scenes look, Mike, deer in headlights. Taj, nothing. These guys are nerds. So I've never heard of Stargate. Yeah, you have.
And love it.
It's fantastic. So yeah, I agree with you. The original movie was great. Actually, still holds up pretty well now.
Oh, yeah.
The one thing that does not translate well is the giant elephant thing creature that they have.
The elephant
creature. Yeah, they have that thing they ride that has like that licks.
Oh, well, it's basically like a bantha.
Yeah, it's like a bantha, but it's like super like.
But that was localized to that planet.
Yeah, I know, but like it just made me laugh because
easily replaced.
Oh well, yeah, and easily redone. But I thought like that just makes you laugh with the old.
You want to talk about product placement? Fifth Avenue bar.
Yeah, because that did real well for him.
Yeah.
Let's go down and get a Fifth Avenue, guys.
Watch it. I'm not going to lie. The first time I ever had a Fifth Avenue bar was after that because I'd never heard of it before.
I was going to say the first time and the last time.
This is like a not good version of a Butterfinger.
And that's why
I'm going to go back to Butterfinger.
To the Bantha.
Goddamn, James Spader lied to me.
Bantha looking motherfucker loves these things.
Yeah.
Why? Because all it eats is rocks and shit. So that thing must have been like...
Yeah, that was a step way up.
That was an upgrade, kids. So go ahead and you were talking. You want to see more of it. Would you want to see it as three movies? Would you see...
I would want to see... Because it was... if I recall right, it was originally planned out for the three movies. I would want to see what the three movies were. Because if you remember, like, at the end of the original Stargate, after the nuke had gone off, they had actually kind of glimpsed a different alien...
Underneath, it kind of freed the temple, whatever it was.
You know, what was that? Because when you move into the show, it was something completely different.
Yeah,
because
like I know, like in the movie too, like you got the idea that they had come and conquered that planet as gods,
yeah,
air quotes on gods, to these Neanderthal type people.
Well, those were humans that were displaced.
Well, yeah, from Earth. I mean, it was like they were like, but they didn't evolve past what they were rudimentary. Tools and things like that, but then when the nuke blew up and the temple was destroyed, you saw that they must have. I always thought like they conquered another race to displace those humans there to like run an experiment on or whatever. Because you obviously realize there's another alien race that controls them because the people who are the that run that ship were humanoid and they were human. But when they were transformed by whatever it was...
They became humanoid or superhuman in a sense.
So they gave them the strength and they wore the helmet, which I thought was always the coolest thing when they open up.
Oh, yeah. And you're like, that's so cool. Another person.
And then the TV show, you never really saw it very much, like except for the big events. Because
it was expensive for,
back then, because you think about that was like 10-something years ago.
Oh,
you
know, I think it was more than that.
15 years ago.
Yeah. It ended 10
years
ago.
No, like that's what I'm saying. It's like the last one was like 10 years.
Right.
Not almost. This universe is only like 2006 or 2008, somewhere around that. It's kind of recent, right?
But started at the beginning of it all. I want to say
universe ended probably about 2010 or something like that.
Yeah, okay. So you started like, right then. So that would be fun. I think that would be pretty awesome to see, especially again nowadays with the technology we have for that and the fact that like the cool thing like I was going to bring up earlier with all this stuff because you're bringing a lot of stuff from our childhoods, Mike's infancy. forward.
I don't want to talk about it.
Yep.
Yeah.
The fact that kids that were kids our age back then are the people who are writing for these things now.
True.
So people with that ambition and want to write and that creativity are trying to create those things, like Alex Albrecht. I'm going to ruin his name every time I say it.
Yeah.
He loved Voltron, so he made the Voltron mini movie type thing episode. And it was like he was passionate about it. Like there was a small budget, so like when you saw the outside of the line, it was kind of not great, but still like you got that, you invoked that, holy moly, that's a live action lion, you know, like you could see that just kicking ass and like the lion fighting by itself and eventually changing into Voltron, things like that. So I think the thought of having those people who are from 20 years ago, 25 years ago, they didn't need to do like a 25 year anniversary edition of like Stargate or something like that, which is super ridiculous to think of that. Someone at this table is barely old enough to be born at the time that movie was out.
Yeah.
Michael. That those people who grew up, you, I, Taj, not really Mike, are that age where we are the creators of those show of those things now.
I think it brings the passion.
So, that's what I mean. You love it, so you want to bring it forward. The problem is you have executives. The other problem is you have these super strict nerds that want to keep it so pure and want to keep it just cheesy as shit. Like,
right, that takes away from the ability to make it into something.
Like,
great.
I'm not going to mention there's someone on another podcast, another entertainment, that fucking loves the original Batman.
The Adam West Bat. Uh-huh. And will not accept anything other than a cheesy camp.
He will literally destroy everything else unless it's that campy. Like, I loved watching it. Like,
we're not gonna it was enjoyable,
on,
but...
we're not going to babble on
doesn't
Hollywood about
lend
it. But
itself to anything other than
even
1960s
then,
or 70s, whenever that shit was made.
The reason they made it that way is because they had no budget. The car was made for like $15,000.
Which was a lot of money back then.
$1,500. Yeah. The just a little bit of knowledge for you, the thruster on the back, the engine, the little fire,
right.
It's a paint can.
Yeah,
a fucking paint can they made to look like an engine.
The helicopter, it's all the same helicopter scene.
Same
I think did they just like literally shoot like a couple hours of B roll with that?
No,
helicopter?
If you pay attention, a couple of helicopter scenes, they're literally all they do is reverse the film.
Yeah.
Oh,
so it's it's flying the other direction.
So it's just a little tiny bit of B roll. That encompasses the entire series, which lasted quite a while.
We need you going straight for a little while. We need you to make a turn, then make another turn. Wrap that bitch up. We got it.
Yep, we're done. All right, guys. And just so you know, not our helicopter. So
get these fucking Batman decals off of us and give it back to whoever.
We didn't rent it. We just kind of shot it.
We might have borrowed it.
Yes, I think the nostalgia thing is like what helps bring those back. But the people who want to bring something from your childhood and make it current and up to date and things like that. And I think we're in the time where like we are going to see a decent live action Ninja Turtles movie where it's not going to look super like, dated.
Pokey
suits. Something like that. All right. So,
which not to hate, by the way, because.
Oh, no, I love them.
Oh, absolutely.
First two are fantastic.
Yeah.
The third one
is a movie.
Like, was retarded.
Was a movie. The live action TV show.
Not
going
to call it retarded, Taj.
Yep.
But it's.
That's not nice to say. We're not going to say that word.
But
on the note, have you ever seen the live-action Ninja Turtles
TV
show?
Available on Netflix.
You can watch
it
on Netflix. There's like three seasons.
Watch.
There's a female
3 minutes of it.
Try to get
because that's all you need to see. That's retarded.
Okay,
the movie's fine.
No, get this. If you watch it, you'll notice a product placement in it that is the furthest away from product placements ever. They replaced the Shell van with a Hummer H2, and not like a military Hummer, an H2. Like the
which is basically
just the
a
road
big
warriors
suburban
version.
Whatever.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
So pitiful.
All right, so we are going along this episode because I haven't had a chance to talk yet. I have four.
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 Way to reel it in.
Is that going to be the next one?
So that's this one right now. You can skip over a lot of it. Only two of these we've really discussed between ourselves. Only two of us at this little episode recording has actually read these fully. One of us has, Michael has read one of them. Taj has no clue what we're talking about.
I'm excited.
But, it should be fun. So the first one I want to bring up, and it is a love of mine since I accidentally bought it and started reading it, is American Vampire.
Yes.
So if you've not checked it out, do so if you're a comic fan or like vampires, because it's a spin on vampires you not normally would expect. It circles around essentially one character. In his rise through the ranks of the vampires. And in this world, there are many different types of vampires that have different abilities and different things. They change differently.
Very, very cool how they did it, too. It's not just like, this vampire is this way for no fucking reason.
And it's cool because if you're not of that lineage and you are bitten by that vampire, their type of vampirism doesn't affect you the same way. So if you're an American... if you get bit by a vampire, yes, you become a vampire, but you become an all different type of vampire.
A specific type of vampire.
And the way this starts off, you sound like, well, wouldn't they know this by now and not do that? Exactly what happens. So in the brief review real quick, or preview of it, a guy named Skinner Sweet is an outlaw. He's basically been captured, is going to be hung He's on a train. Train gets attacked. He gets attacked by these like Slavic vampires. They're very droll, like the original ones. They're afraid of the sunlight. It hurts them. They're very gothic in their ways, but they look proper and trim. They stay out of light. When they attack him, they think they kill him, but they don't. And he turns into a vampire, but has a completely different set of skills. He can actually be in the sunlight. His weakness is the full moon. So he's not weakened by anything except for the full moon, which he actually can be killed, but it's harder to kill when he's not, when it's in the daylight. So he has an advantage over every other vampire.
Blade.
Yeah. No. See, the thing is, like, Blade doesn't have a, he's more human than the fact that he doesn't, if you stake him in the heart, he doesn't explode into fiery ashes.
Still die.
Yeah, he would die because he's more human. But he can be in the, he gets stabbed in the heart. But him, he is not affected the same way. He's affected by gold. So unlike the silver that affects a lot of their vampires, gold affects him.
So he's black.
No, he is affected by gold, not that
like,
he wants
like
gold.
Someone
shoots him with a gold bullet, weakens him. Just like if you shoot like a silver bullet at like a vampire, like they don't like silver when you touch them, things like that. It hurts him in that same fashion. So it's pretty cool. That one, I think that would really
written
good.
By Scott Snyder.
Scott Snyder,
way,
yep, sorry.
Who's making Batman.
Yep, and amongst other things that's out there. The Wake is amazing. But this one, they are coming back to it this year. He's going to be writing new issues after about a year of off,
just,
I think.
Yeah, just
almost
about
a year. So it's pretty awesome. They have 5 volumes that you can get now in trade paperback. Try to get them. They're super awesome. And the cool thing about the series is it starts in old Western times and goes right up, and they're almost to modern day. So you go through World War II, you go through the 50s. There's even like some disco stuff in there. There's even like British spies in there. That there's a whole different thing, like a realm that they go into. But the cool thing about it is there's like, it's not just vampires. They don't delve into other monsters really, but it's really just vampires and like this underworld the vampires have in it, and there's all these different types. It's awesome to really look at it.
And real quick, just to add on to it, if you're one of those people who are like, I don't really dig comics, I like to read, but I don't want to read a comic book, this is legit literature. Case in point, the first volume that you get, half the story is done by Scott Snyder, who is the main writer on it, the other half done by Stephen King. So that kind of instant lends some, novel credibility.
Well, yeah, some true reading credit.
Yeah, like, so just in case you're one of those people, which if you're listening to this, you're probably not, but you might be somebody.
Hey, we might reach all facets of life.
Yeah, eventually.
All right, so.
Go ahead, Joe.
No, I've never, I'm one of the two people that have never
read this one.
Read it. So my two questions would be, do they ever explain, like, why do the individual races have their powers
and weaknesses?
They do eventually, yes. So it is not what you would think. Like, it's not in a way where, because they're like the Slavic vampires were from a place where it didn't have a lot of sunlight, they didn't learn that. That's just the mutation by the genes they are. So at one point, you in one of the later issues, much later issues, you find out there's this really barbaric, animalistic version of vampirism that's out, and they were created, and they're only created because of the fact that Skinner Sweet existed and people were experimenting on other types of people and other races to turn into vampires, and they don't really go into why Skinner has those particular set of skills. At first they lend you to think that he's a freak of nature. He actually converts his very first vampire himself, and she resembles all the same powers he has. Oddly enough, both American. But the cool thing about that is super different decade. Like, he's from the Westerns, Western era. She's like from like 1920. So like we're talking like 1800s to like 20th century. It was pretty cool the way they did that.
And the number second two. Question was, I actually forgot.
Oh,
way to go!
Right.
And it's gone.
That motherfucker.
That's Taja,
it sounds to me more of a statement, but it sounds to me more like you believe that this lends itself more to a series of some sort than, say, a movie, because ultimately
so
there's so much information. Information there for it to be two hours, 3 hours worth of
movie. And it's always my problem with adaptions of something versus like bringing it to somewhere. Like, there's a lot of things, X-Men, for example. You can easily do an X-Men movie, standalone movie, one by itself, which obviously in this day and age never happened, always going to do sequels. You could do it, and it would be fine by itself.
Fully encompassing. Yep,
because you would explain, yeah, they're mutants, they have these powers, they fight each other, you know, they want equality, blah, 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 whatever it is, right? There's other ones, Avengers, Captain America, those ones are, they could have standalone tales within that. This is a narrative, and it is following one character for the most part. And it's funny because there is a couple issues he doesn't show up in. He's mentioned, and then he's not mentioned. He's not even mentioned. There's a couple issues. He's not even mentioned by name. He's referred to. So, like, there's, it's a series about him. Like, the literally the name of the book is American Vampire. He is an American vampire. I didn't understand the name at first, and then I read it, and I was like, oh, American Vampire, because he's an American who's a vampire, and his version of that is different than another one. So it means, like,
you know.
Yeah, so he's
a vampire.
Who's American?
Who's American? American.
So, and because they do that, his version of vampire virus is different from someone from, say, another country, because that's why they call him American Vampire.
So what's the over, is there an overarching story to it, or is it just like individual?
There is, in
sounds
a way,
pretty linear to me.
Because it obviously takes place over some time, as you said.
Decades,
so is
yep.
there, you know, is it just like from time to time?
So each time they jump to a new one, it's essentially just another time in his life. So think less like a, like it's a linear story, but there's no, as of right now, there's no end point other than the death of him at one point, at some point. Like, he eventually, just like any good character, has to come to an end. Either he becomes cured or he dies or whatever, rides into the sunset if you want to, you know, let it go that way.
Martyr hero.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah. So eventually will, but as of, the way that's built, and that's why I love it so much, is there isn't like an end point. You don't see an end point coming. Like, eventually he's going to find a cure for himself. He gives two shits about being cured. He fucking loves being a vampire.
He's a bad dude.
He's yeah. And the cool thing, one of the things I like about it is, and one of the problems with it, the way it would be, is when he transforms, when he becomes a vampire, because he looks normal human, he doesn't have fangs or anything like that when you're looking at him, except for little niblets of fangs, but he looks pretty human. When he transforms, his eyes change colors, his mouth becomes huge with these huge, like, fangs in him, like, all of his teeth are fangs, and then his fingers elongate and become claws that are razor sharp that will shred you. But his body morphs into it, so it'd be harder to do on a cable network budget. It would have to be something like
it sounds like one. You would lay, yeah, it would go to like an HBO or something.
Exactly,
like
it would definitely
that.
Have to be that. Plus, it's huge. Yeah, it's a huge, huge budget, because the cool thing about it
more.
Too, though, is one another one that I'll talk about in a minute is there's not every season or every book they've done has a different cast of other characters. So you have a couple main characters that go out through the time. The one problem that I would see would be one of the characters is not a vampire. He has to age from one series to the next.
But that's still easy
when
enough
they
to
jump
do
him.
With
yeah,
prosthetics.
Yep.
And
yeah, exactly.
And
so
like
it could
that.
Be done, but it's just he's one of the ones, because the other ones, they look exactly the same. They don't age because they're vampires. They're ageless, so they stay that way. So that was pretty cool that way. But I love that series.
And it sounds like it'd be a good
fantastic.
TV series.
Yep. Gosh.
I just had something coming to my head, and it's completely off topic, but I'll lose it. Comes naturally. One word answer from all of you, please. Live action Akira. Yes or no?
Yes. Yeah. Mike's never seen it.
Oh, Jesus.
Fucking
nerd.
Christ.
I truly believe it can be done. I would love to see it be done.
But it needs to be done in the right hand.
It needs to have someone with 10 or 11
it's a baby, yeah. Man. It's truly a baby.
It has so much in it, and there's so much.
That's something that somebody who grew up with it.
Yep.
Would
so
have
the
to
cool
be
thing
able
about
to.
That, if out there folks even seen it, it's a it was a comic book series. It was turned into a movie. Most people know it from the movie because the comic series is old, black and white, and actually was way rougher than the movie was.
Yeah.
But the movie, not to go into details of what the movie is, but the movie is very dystopian. It's a different time, different world. It's set with a lot of like Japan in mind, but like not a normal modern day Japan or a past Japan. It is way in the future. The year is something like 3000.
Yeah, it's rugged.
And it's rugged. It's there's really shiny parts around the world in the world. There's very run down, dank. There's gang members, bike gangs are what it focuses around, because mm-hmm. that's where the main characters come from. There's like, you know, mutated psychics that are out there that use telekinesis and all sorts of crazy stuff. But the problem that I always fought with it and thought about it when it came to the big Hollywood movies is you'd have someone who would want to make it match the modern day struggles that the world is in, you know, like nuclear power or like struggle for this. And it doesn't need, it needs to be separated in its own little fictional world.
Right. Just it like truly does was. Have to be true to itself and the fact that it is worlds apart from anything else.
Yeah, we're not we're not making it a modern day tale. We are making a live action version of it using real humans and real set pieces.
And that's why I would say you have to have somebody that really respects the property in order to do it.
Yeah.
I want to say, though, that I read a couple days ago that somebody was trying to work on
it. For a long time, Leonardo DiCaprio has been trying to do it.
Sorry, I can't buy that.
I know.
What role did he have in it?
Well, for the first time, he never came out, said he wanted to be in it. He wanted to produce it.
Which would be fine with me.
But obviously, like, from a long time there, when it first started popping, it was the time where he was kind of, like, out of the main Hollywood spotlight. Like, not people knew who he was, obviously. Like, he never left the eye of America in the movie Love in Public. But he was never really big like he is right now. Mm-hmm. It was when he was younger. But it was one of those passion projects when he was doing those crazy indie, like, not indie movies, but art-type movies, The Beach and things like that, where, like, people don't.
He was in between,
like the, huge the movies, Titanic time,
and then becoming just like,
so more, like that stuff.
I would say more well-rounded actor now. Yep.
So I could see him not being in it now, especially since the characters are
much younger as well.
Much younger, late teenage, early 20s, essentially gang members, but like not like a bad like they're bad people.
And they're Asian-esque. So it doesn't really fit.
And I think we could get away without being Asian, especially in a dystopian world where, like, all races
it's more mixed,
are, you know, exactly, you know, not like South Park Goobacks type way, you know, where there's gray, not like that. But so that's that was American Vampire.
I apologize for the tangent.
Timed and definitely good. Moving on to my next one is a comic book called or comic series called Fables. This one is pretty awesome because Fables is set in modern time New York, but it takes all the characters are the fable characters from all the stories we grew up hearing about. Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, Prince Charming, the Big Bad Wolf, but they're now refugees in New York in a town called Fable Town. It's a magical block on Fitchbull Street in New York. Real places there. It's cool because they have bought and it basically come up with the country, not only this, so they've been in the United States before it was like an actual formed country, so even back here when pilgrims, things like that, and you find out later on they've been here for a long time and they fought in our wars and things like that, but they are their own, they're hidden, they're not known by everybody as being these fabled characters. They are known only them to themselves, hidden in plain sight essentially. And they use magic spells to keep hidden people, as they call them, Mundies or mundanes, will come along the street and buy from their shops they own in there, and they'll make money. And Cinderella has a shoe store there, and Beauty
Mr.
worked.
Toad has
Mr. Toad has a bakery,
hotel.
Or
motel, because people actually live in their apartment buildings. Yeah,
they. Beauty from Beauty and the Beast, she works at a bookstore. So if you think about her as her character from those fables, she loved books, so it lends that. The Big Bad Wolf, who essentially the entire series is pretty much revolves around for the most part. He goes by the name of Big B Wolf. People refer to him as Big B. He is the sheriff of Fable Town. He doesn't look like the Big Bad Wolf. He's got a spell that changes him to look human, but he is always seen smoking cigarettes. Like nonstop, he like literally smoking one, light the next one with it, and keep going. You find out later why. But he can turn back and forth between different variations of a wolf and himself. And when he turns into a wolf, he's fucking enormous.
Yeah,
like I'm talking like bigger than this room, bigger than most houses could fit like a wolf. And he's
nice.
He's awesome. But he can turn into like a wolfman type thing where he's more human, has claws and that. Super awesome it is. But it runs the gamut, not for kids. I'm warning you now, not for fucking kids. First issue, horrific fucking murder. They walk in there, and this room is covered in fucking blood everywhere. It is literally, I cannot stress how much blood is in this fucking room that this person was murdered in. Not for fucking kids. There's nudity, there's violence, there's bad language. It is...
it's kind of like this
It podcast. Is perfect.
Yeah. So
it is perfect.
I have watched the show Once Upon a Time, nothing like that show, in a way that they are themselves here by a magical spell. They're the fables that we learn about in this story are refugees from their homelands, which are all the hundreds and thousands of fabled worlds out there that have been slowly conquered over the centuries by their main bad guy, the adversary. It takes a long time for you to figure out who the adversary is. If someone tells you they figured it out, they're fucking lying because they never tell you out straight who it is until later on. Then you're like, holy shit, that's awesome. But every fable you imagine is in it, no matter what story you have. And the cool thing about it is they all interconnect. So like Prince Charming is the same Prince Charming from every Prince Charming story. Snow White, Cinderella, same dude, and he's a fucking dick. Yeah. He cheats on him, he marries him, then leaves him, divorces him somehow, and moves on to the next one. So he's done doing it for centuries, and he's got him. Briar, the chick that falls asleep, Sleeping Beauty, essentially.
Yeah.
Cinderella, Rapunzel, all of them. That's the same dude, different chicks.
Big Bad Wolf is
the Big Bad Wolf. So when you hear Three Little Pigs, that's Bigby the Wolf. Red Riding Hood, that's the Big Bad Wolf. Anytime you ever heard of, there's another one that goes into it, it's pretty called the North Wind. That is his actual story. That's the same wolf. So it's the same wolf. It's the same character. Jack of Fables is in it. He's Jack of the Beanstalk. He's anybody you ever heard of the Jack character?
That's him.
That is him. It's super awesome the way they do it. Yeah, it's super, super awesome. Super violent. It would have to be animated because of the sheer size and type of characters they have in it.
So would that be something that would end up on like an HBO and kind of an interesting animated yes. HBO type of...
Think back to like Spawn, animated Spawn. Not that it was a great show, but it was super violent, right. But it was animated in the way like it was animated. Like it was animated just like all the other cartoons when we were growing up, like the X-Men and Spider-Man. It was animated the same way, way more detail in it though, but way more violent and adult. This is exactly how it has to be because there's just too much content in the way they write. It would lose so much if you cut it for regular TV to animate it. Not for like an Adult Swim could get away with some of it, but like, and I don't even think you really need the nudity. It's part of the story in ways where
you could hint at it more. Yep. You just
You don't. You have can to
work
have it.
Around
yeah.
that
yeah.
portion of it.
Yeah, because people I some disagree. People
you need it,
but
full penetration for Mike. So people get a little bit eerie. They get weirded out about like naked cartoons for some reason. Cartoons are for kids and they're not fucking kids, right? The Disney movies have dirty jokes in them, all right? Get over it.
Lots of dirty jokes.
So I think it would play well like on an HBO where they could get away with that with the sheer violence. It's a huge story. It's still currently running. I am far behind the current run.
It's got many offshoots.
It's got different offshoots of different stories from different characters. It's got spinoffs for telling stories from all these characters you run into to figure out how they come about and where their stories have led from. Things like that. It's an awesome series. I highly recommend anybody who reads comics or is interested in comics. Again, not for fucking kids.
No.
I can't stress this enough. So that'll be that. Last two, I'll make it quick because only two of us here have read this. First one is Why Last Man. Love yes. It. Yes, I know. Someone is making this right now. Dan Trachtenberg. Fuck you, you slow-paced motherfucker.
At least tweet about
answer
it
answer my fucking tweets every now and then. Is it a movie? Is it three movies? Is it a TV show? Let me fucking know. Because it needs to be a goddamn TV show.
Preferably a TV show. I would be kind of happy with three movies. You cannot make that into one movie.
You cannot. Though. You cannot. Listen to me. You cannot make this one fucking movie. It is too detailed. You will lose so much in the middle of it if you do. Just the last book of the series of the six collections. It ran 60 issues. It's a pretty good run if you think about TV series.
Absolutely.
Six seasons is fucking quality. It's especially hour long. It's really good.
Written by Brian K. Vaughan.
Who
also did some episodes of Lost.
Lost. He's doing Under the Dome currently right now on TV.
Going to be at coming Con, back. Right? Phoenix
Con? Not yet confirmed. He will be at San Diego. Rumors are he's doing Southwest. Technically, we are Southwest. Him to be at
Phoenix.
But Phoenix Comic Con is really weird. If you were in the area, have you ever gone? If you follow it, they wait to the last fucking minute to tell you who's going to be there. Like last year, we were so unprepared. Like there were people we didn't know were going to be there. That when we got the pamphlet, found out they were there. We're walking the floor on preview night, as we like to call it. It's Thursday night. It's not a long day. You know, just like anything else, it's only there. So you can kind of get on the floor. It's weird, like a half day.
Yeah.
But we're going through the pamphlet and we're walking by all these artist tables and we see names that we recognize. We're like, he wasn't listed on the website. He wasn't listed on the website. She wasn't listed on the website. All this crazy stuff. Then we find out there's people that were there that weren't even in the book.
We missed Fiona,
Fiona Staples.
We were standing right next to her and didn't even realize.
Fiona Staples draws for Brian K. Vaughan's other book, Saga. Not going to talk about this because that would no way you could do fucking that anytime.
No.
Anywhere soon. Mainly because it's not even close to being done. But she was there and we were hanging out with, it was myself and my friend Joe. We were hanging out with a friend Daniel from the comic book store. Daniel. And we're, I can do shout outs, right?
Yeah. That's the first one.
It was really
yeah.
the first one.
Congratulations, Daniel.
And Daniel, congratulations to you as well.
Yeah, buddy. So we're there and we're hanging out and he's getting all these autographs because he knows a lot of these people from like you know, not like knows them personally. He knows some of them personally because they're like local and stuff too, but he knows who they are. Doesn't even dawn on us. It's like right there. So we're talking, having a good time. Months later, I find out she's literally sharing the table with another lady he was getting autographs from, and we had no clue. And they had like first print Saga number ones on the table for like $5 signed.
Which I had missed out on the yep. first printing. Ouch. I had to get a second printing.
Yeah, so like, it's ridiculous. Awesome. Like it was, but so going completely away from there. We don't know if he's going to be here or not, but it'd be awesome if he was.
Yeah.
Especially because of smaller cons, it's easier to get autographs from him. You do have to wait in line for a long time, but not like J. Michael Straczynski's line. Four hours and then they let it go for three.
I really wanted the autograph, but nope.
Yep. Fucking line was ridiculous. Then, best part about that, San Diego Comic Con a couple months later, I could just walked up and got it signed because he's sitting there. No line. Yeah. Awesome. Why Last Man is a terrific story. You should read it. It is heart-wrenching.
Oh, God.
It's psychological. There's a monkey in it. That's pretty awesome.
So,
ampersand.
Yeah, say no more.
Ampersand. His name is Ampersand. He's a little trained monkey. It's a fantastic book. It is not what you think when it comes to superheroes or comic books in general. No superheroes. These are plain fucking people. Real quick overview of what the story is. Why Last Man, why it's called that, is a gentleman named Yurik Brown. He is literally the last man on Earth. He's the last male on Earth. One day, no one knows why, and even through the end of the book, they actually don't even tell you why. They literally, every single man at the exact same moment and the exact same day, all drop fucking dead.
Nice.
Aneurysms, everything. They just fucking die. It's planes are falling out of skies. Telecommunications are going down. Ships are crashing. Cars are crashing. Nothing goes on. It's set pretty much in modern time. But it is, the story is he somehow survives with his pet monkey, Ampersand, who is also male. They're the only two out there. And he literally finds out like he's the last one. He thinks, and it's awesome the way he stumbles upon this, he goes out thinking there's a virus, so he bundles up like a gas mask and a cloak. Then it jumps ahead. He finds out he's the only male alive. If a woman finds out, they try to like hurt him, they try to kidnap him. He's terrified. It's super awesome. Check it out. Unlike anything you've read before. I guarantee you.
What would you think it should be?
I think it should be a TV show. There's too much to have not done in a TV because there's so much that happens in those 60 issues that needs to be done. Does it need to be 60 individual episodes? Not a chance. You could do it, but a lot of them are so connected together that six seasons would make up a good story. Each season would be its own capsulized story within it, leading to the one big story. It's all about him trying to get to Australia to see his girlfriend Beth, who is there. But because all the telecommunications go down, because men do all that stuff, no one can call. There's no telephones. There's no radio. All of it goes down because men, as we all know in the real world, run a shit ton of everything. Like it's sexist to say, but if you really think about it, they're the ones in charge. Yes, it's changing now, but if you really look at the people who come out to your house and install your cable or fix things when they go bad, it's dudes.
It's a male.
So when you kill all of them,
I mean, it's not just that the guys are dying. It's that they died and it becomes more like a post-apocalypse. Not so much as like a Mad Max, but it starts leaning towards Mad Max where people start forming their own groups because, like you said, most men, I mean, just were presidents and stuff like and congressmen. So you start to end up with this more Mad Max type of people who are, you know, more communities, more, biker gang, stuff like that.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's nuts. Like, it takes this crazy left turn. There's all these characters. And the cool thing about it is you only have a small group of main characters. So the cast would be really small. and you just have a rotating extra cast behind. Yes, man. It was super awesome. Last one, touch on really quick. One that makes Joe angry is Ex Machina. So we got a little bit of hope with this one this past year.
Yeah.
We heard they're making it. Yep. Super excited. Read some details on it. At first, super, super, super scared because nobody from the creative team was attached to it. The characters' names were completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Then we started getting more details about it, and they got
way off track.
Way off track. The story was completely different. The characters' names changed even more.
They jumped like 15 sharks with this thing. It was ridiculous. So far off.
Turns out, not the same movie. Originally had the same name, but because they already a couple of companies have made taken the name and made it movies, they had to change it, so it has been changed. Luckily, we recently found out Brian K. Vaughan has changed a lot of it, so he's back in control with it, which is pretty awesome. Tony Daniels, the artist, they have control of the property. They are looking around. Pretty awesome. So that one's super cool. If you get a chance to read it, it's awesome by Brian K. Vaughan. Like I was saying, it is about a guy who gets the ability to speak and control machines and mechanics. It's pretty awesome. He has these visions and he builds all his technology to help him turn himself into a crime fighter and like a vigilante type guy. Super rad. You should check it out. It's set in modern world. One thing that threw me for a loop when I first saw it is it takes place in a pre-9/11 era starts and exists after it. And he actually saves one of the towers. The story
bounces back and forth between
that. And it jumps forward, back and forth. And it spans the globe. And he becomes the mayor of New York. And it's crazy. It's nuts the way they do it. But it's real life. What's cool is like it's not. There's no like no Superman or no Batman. It's literally just like this dude, and he gives it all up to become mayor of New York, and he uses it kind of like a running thing. Like it was cool. You have to read it. It's pretty.
So
awesome.
I think you're obviously leaning towards more of a TV series with that. Something like this, you could probably even do on like a cable channel.
Yes,
it wouldn't be something that I would want to do on like CW or anything.
Could do this on a real cable network, like a way that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has done, or Heroes in the past. They don't have to be superheroes.
When Heroes was good.
Yeah.
When Heroes was good, first two seasons. Yeah, I guess third
would
was
you still jump around as much as they did in the show?
Yes, or
would you streamline it more?
No, I would still jump around because it would be cool, especially the way they do. Because the cool thing about it is Brian K. Vaughan is very good at picking up on taboos in society, gay marriage, equality, things like that, which is pretty awesome. Like his vice mayor is black. His black vice mayor's brother, who's a firefighter, is gay. And then they end up being the first gay married couple in New York. And mind you, this is before this is years ago that this comic book was written. So it's before any of that came legal and stuff. So it was a really cool way of doing it.
And what's really interesting about it is because he becomes a superhero, essentially a superhero in the comic, but that's really not what it's about. It is really more of a political, how he runs the day to day New York. And how the weird stuff that happens because of, you introduce his past and this little bit of superhero element, which obviously draws a super villain element into it.
Yep, crazy. It's nuts because like it doesn't really focus on him being a vigilante superhero. It focuses on him trying to run New York and make New York better because he loves New York.
And then the vigilante is an offshoot of it.
No, because he's not a vigilante anymore. It's all his past. So the flashbacks and the flash forwards are literally spurring from the fact he used to be a vigilante and now he's regular. So people always bring up, "Oh, you used to be a vigilante and all this stuff." And like, he's at odd ends with the police chief or captain. I think she's captain. And so it's cool because like they still don't get along, and he goes into real depth about the different characters. And again, very small cast, but bigger than most comic books in a way. But he's the only one that really has powers other than his nemesis. Everyone else is regular people. There's no big battle between them. It's very small scale. The hardest part about it would be the animals, because his nemesis can control animals. So that'd be the hardest thing to do for television, because you have to have trained animals like tigers and
if you did
all this crazy shit like that. So I think it would feel really awesome to be a live show, because you could have a real person and be in the real world. And he lives in, I can't remember the name of the manor that the mayor lives in New York, but he lives in it, so it happens there.
Gracie Manor.
Super awesome. The book is fantastic. I only read it because I read Why Last Man, and it led me to read other Brian K. Vaughan stuff, and it was super, super badass. Not what everyone thought it was going to be. Because
no.
When you look at the covers and stuff like that, you see a dude in a jetpack. You're like, oh, it's the superheroes.
Yeah, Ray Guns not even fucking close. And yeah, you're like, no.
The covers are so misleading. Every single cover literally made it look like he was a superhero still. 90% of the time, not a superhero.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Has to do with futuristic stuff, and there's crazy flash forwards and weird visions he has and all sorts of crazy stuff. It's awesome.
I don't want to spoil the ending, but would you end the show the same?
Yes, I would.
God damn, I hate you.
Say
yes.
No more.
Yes, you will hate me for that.
No, not say anymore, but this is one reason why I love and I hate this, because it builds.
It doesn't end.
It does't end.
It stops.
It ends, but it doesn't
so
end.
So if you think of like some movies, Coen Brothers would be one of them, where like you jump in this like time period of like these already existing lives with further stories that you don't ever learn about their past.
Yeah.
And you go up and it gets to a point where like that story ends and then the movie stops. It's exactly how this story starts. Like you get some of his, you eventually get all of his origin. When you first start the series, you're fucking lost.
Uh-huh.
It feels like you're jumping right in the middle of it, but they slowly with. That's why I keep the flashbacks and the flash forwards, because it tells the story of what's happening. And
it brings it all together.
Yep. Yeah. And then when you get to the end, literally, I'm not going to tell you what the end is, but literally it does not end. It stops.
Yeah, it is literally just a slice of. It's just him being mayor. That's really.
Yeah, the story is literally him being mayor. And then when you get to the end, it's. It does go into the future for that portion of it, which you find out
is literally two pages.
Yeah, like two pages, but you actually find out that's actually the narrative, and he's actually telling you the story back. So it's super awesome.
Yeah.
Larger cast than most would have, but not enough to be varied, and there's no crazy green people running around or anything like
no,
that.
No, there wouldn't be a whole lot of CG or
nope, it'd be regular people would be really easy to shoot. So fairly cheap for the most part, other than this.
Takes place in New York.
Him flying around the jetpack.
Your scenes.
It's all in New York. One time
Rocketeer, hello. Just saying.
Yep. His jetpack's super awesome, like, too. Like, and he has, like, a Russian guy who helps him.
Kremlin.
He has a best friend who, if you really look at it, not very good friends. They're kind of fucking assholes to each other.
Yeah, they are a bit, but that's sometimes how friends are. Yep.
So, and that's it. That's for me. That's the ones I have. I went last because one is mine were super not known by most people, so I didn't want to go in. I knew everybody else had really good ones to talk about that other people would enjoy. So I think that wraps up for this episode.
That wraps it.
Yep. We'd like to thank Taj for joining us today.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you. So we got
Joe,
Mike,
and I'm Cody. We're signing off for this episode. We will talk to everyone next time. All right, guys.
Peace.